We are down to the wire. Some major decisions happening up in Hartford during the legislative session, including a new agreement. Prospect Medical Holdings and the state came to an agreement that Rockville General and Manchester Memorial Hospitals can now seek consolidation, but 24/7 emergency services must be made available for the time being. But what does that mean for the future? And certainly a lot of lawmakers are not too pleased with this current deal, including State Senator and Dr. Jeff Gordon, who joins us back on the show. Senator Gordon, you and I have talked about this potential agreement coming and what it was going to look like, and clearly you're not happy about it. Talk to people about what this is really going to mean and maybe sort of how did we get to this point?
Good morning. Thank you for letting me join you today. This is another blatant example of state government completely divorcing itself from the reality of local patient care. This is just a continued trend. I don't understand where the Commissioner Gifford of the Office of Health Strategy, even the Governor's Office, Attorney General, the Comptroller, they've been more or less silent in just letting Rockville General continue to keep most of its inpatient services closed, going back around 5 years, actually over 5 years. And now suddenly we get an announcement that comes out on a Friday just before the three-day holiday weekend about this agreement, which is a terrible agreement, and it's going to significantly continue to hurt patient care in the local Vernon and the surrounding areas. And it's a complete sellout to private equity, this Prospect company that we know has devastated a number of hospitals. And right now the state is dealing with a bankruptcy court proceeding with regards to Manchester Hospital, Rockville General, and hospital in Waterbury.
So tell us what makes this a sellout, in your opinion, Senator Gordon, so people can understand. And what would have been, in your opinion, a better path forward than the current agreement?
Well, it's a sellout because basically it took 5 years for the state to say, yeah, you closed your inpatient services. You shouldn't have done it. You broke the law technically. But we're just going to give you a little slap on the wrist and say, you've done it. We're going to let you do it. Oh, by the way, you have an emergency department in Vernon. We're going to let you keep it open, but only mandate that it has to be for 3 years. After 3 years, who knows what happens? The agreement doesn't speak to that, and potentially that emergency department can go away. And also this agreement says, oh, by the way, you have good inpatient behavioral and mental health services for people. We'll let you continue it, but if you can also do it within 30 miles of the Vernon location, well, then you can always potentially close that and just consolidate elsewhere. So that's why it's a complete sellout. And also, why did it take the state so long to deal with this and not at all seriously look at patient care needs in that local area? And so to me, and I hear this from my constituents right now, it is a complete sellout, and it just allows profits over patients, which I don't think is right.
Well, and Senator Gordon, something that you've really outlined, especially, you know, from your background as a doctor as well, is that not everywhere in Connecticut has easy access to a hospital, to a medical facility, like some of the ones you're mentioning when you talk about Rockville General and Manchester Memorial. You know, this is really helping a population that otherwise would have to go very far distances, right, to get the medical treatment that they need.
Oh, absolutely. And I've challenged Office of Health Strategy, especially Commissioner Gifford, to show us how this helps in any way. They just look at a map and draw a straight line from Rockville General to other hospitals, including in Hartford. But you and I know in the real world, you don't travel in a straight line. I mean, you can have bad weather, especially in the winter, if you're sick and trying to get to health care. It matters whether you can get to a local community hospital versus have to travel into, say, Hartford or some other place. And this is just another example of how Commissioner Gifford completely doesn't understand or doesn't even care to understand about local health care. And I've continued to challenge the Office of Health Strategy. And that's why I believe we need a huge clean sweep of that agency and a reboot, really, really reboot it to get it focused again on patient care. To me, this is just bad policy. And it's a shame that state government is allowing it to happen.
I mean, and you make a good point, Senator. If you were to just do, like, I just kind of, if you were to eliminate, let's just say, Rockville, which, you know, happens to be in Vernon, instead of, you know, going there, if they were to go to the next closest hospital, which would probably be Hartford Hospital, you're still talking about a half hour away. So you know, the thing that I think what you're talking about, if I'm understanding, Senator, is that you're making a lot of unknowns for people who are in harder to reach areas of Connecticut.
Oh, absolutely. And we see this there with what's happening in the local area of Vernon. Someone sick thinks they might be having a heart attack, wants to go to a local emergency department. And what happens? And after 3 years, the state allows the emergency department of Rockville to close and consolidate with another hospital in the system. That's more time someone has to travel. And what happened if we're in the middle of winter? We don't always get good winters. Can you imagine traveling, especially at night, or an ambulance trying to get you? Time matters when we're dealing with these types of emergency situations. I also fight the same type of terrible decision-making that the state made in Johnson Memorial Hospital in Stafford, allowing that hospital to keep its inpatient labor and delivery closed. So a pregnant woman needing to seek emergency services has to travel far, including down to Hartford to seek that. That's just extra time that people don't have when they're in these types of emergency situations. And we already hear the big hospitals have emergency rooms that are overcrowded. And this is state policy to push more towards the big hospitals and, in a sense, allow the decimation of the community hospitals. Terrible, terrible, terrible. I can tell you, if I were in charge and if I were the governor, I would have slammed my fist down long ago on the table and made certain that this type of stuff didn't happen. But unfortunately, all these years later, this is what happens.
Well, and the thing is, Senator Gordon, which is sort of my follow-up to what you just said, was this too little too late? Like, were there even other options? I know at one point Yale was very interested in buying. And of course, once they knew all of the wheelings and dealings, especially behind closed doors, they kind of were like, nope, we're out. Sorry, we're out of it. But that was sort of the goal was, hey, let's have another entity sort of acquire these. But that didn't happen. Yale backed out of it. And that deal kind of fell through earlier this year. And so were there other options besides disagreement?
There were other options, and in fact, if the Office of Health Strategy hadn't dithered in taking huge, huge, excessive amount of time to try to approve the deal for Yale to purchase Prospect Hospitals, probably Yale would have stepped in and bought them, and then things would have been adjudicated outside of bankruptcy court, and things that the state could have done to have been of help to facilitate the deal. And then we wouldn't be in the situation we're in. Unfortunately, now with it in bankruptcy court, it complicates it. This actually doesn't help. It may help potential buyers because they can say, oh, you know, we can cut costs later because after 3 years we can get rid of an emergency department and we might be able to get rid of inpatient behavioral health and perhaps close and sell the buildings. But that's not good for healthcare. And there's no long-term policy that I see thinking about healthcare. I do, because as a doctor and a senator, I understand this stuff very, very well. But unfortunately for the average person, they just see more local healthcare options cut for them. And that's terribly wrong, especially when you get into rural parts of the state where traveling, as you mentioned, let's say to Hartford, is not a minor thing and can be a lengthy ordeal when you're sick.
We have State Senator Jeff Gordon here, who happens to also be the ranking member on the Planning and Development Committee. And there is a big vote that could be happening today. It's supposed to happen today. In fact, it was supposed to happen on Friday of last week, but it didn't happen in time. It's this massive aircraft carrier housing bill. Depending on who you talk to on what side of the aisle, some say it could be historic if it passes. Others say it could be disastrous. And I'm curious, first of all, Senator Gordon, the fact that it didn't already pass the House at this point, do you feel confident that it will pass and then, of course, come to the Senate where you and you know, your fellow lawmakers are?
Well, this bill to me is historically bad. I served 15 years as chairman of Woodstock's Planning and Zoning Commission, so this type of stuff I understand very well. I commend my House Republican colleagues who are fighting to maintain local decision-making, which is a right we all have in our communities. And this is really more and more a continued attempt by some people for the state to take over decision making in our towns and tell people, you know, again and again, how to live and all sorts of things. So to me, this is very bad. My understanding is that it is coming back up in the House today. There's a significant modification to the proposal. I think it's still very concerning and bad. So it'll be very interesting to see if it passes the House. If it does pass the House, it may be modified more. And then it has to come to us in the Senate, where I'm not certain if it will pass the Senate. We're running out of time in a legislative session. June 4th is our last day. And this could be something that could take up huge amounts of time in the Senate to try to deal with. So I'm not certain if it will make it through. My hope is that it doesn't make it out of the House, and that we meet and work to realistically see what to do for housing affordability, but not do these one-size-fits-all, top-down approaches, taking away people's rights to make decisions in their own communities. That's just wrong, and we should be doing better. And that's what I've been advocating and pushing for on the Planning and Development Committee.
And I think, too, there are some narratives that are so deceiving, Senator Gordon. So some of the troublesome parts of this bill, which, again, we know we have a housing crisis. There's bipartisan support that we need to create more affordable workforce housing. It's how we go about doing it and not making developers more and more rich, and basically Connecticut residents having, you know, fewer and fewer options for housing. There's a part in here that talks about housing quotas for every town and city. The latest language still requires to rezone for density, so developers build 25% of fair share study, an alternative plan there. The other part that I think is really, really troublesome, especially when we look at our neighbors in Bridgeport, is a no minimum parking requirement for any residential development under 24 units. I don't know how this is getting support. I mean, again, this doesn't seem like a partisan issue. It is heavily Democratic in the city of Bridgeport, and they're saying no way can you have a no minimum parking requirement for any of our housing. And yet you have lawmakers up in Hartford who are saying, yeah, that we can go forward with this. So I'll be very curious to see what is amended and what the new language looks like today, because, again, I think at the local level, you have bipartisan support that there are parts of this bill that are very concerning and why it can't pass at this point. So I'll be curious to see what, if anything, changes.
Oh, I agree, and so do I. And I've been actively working on this, ways to make it better, stopping the bad parts. For example, when it comes to parking, for in rural towns that I represent, many times the parking has to be on a street. And if you're talking about small rural streets, you're going to just require people that just going to have to, by default, park on a street. You won't get an ambulance or a fire truck down. I mean, these are real world issues that the proponents of the bill, I don't think they've gone out to the towns to really see the impact of what they're trying to do. And that's bad. I encourage people to go out to Bridgeport, speak with people who know, come out to my towns in northeastern Connecticut, talk with people who know these issues, and let's work together to find ways that we can improve housing affordability. I had a lot of bills before the Housing Committee, and they shot down basically all but one. Good, creative ideas that towns are doing, and if the state helps, we can do something meaningful for housing affordability. Yet proponents of the bill, like this big housing bill, didn't seem to want to talk about anything that was creative or to partner with towns. They just think they know best, and as we know, that's not the way it works in the real world, and I'm real concerned about the real bad unintended consequences that will happen if this bill actually passes.
Senator Gordon, we certainly will see what happens up in Hartford, and thank you so much for taking the time before, I'm sure, what will be a very busy day up at the Capitol. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Have a good rest of the day.
Thank you. You too.